Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Though I'm missing you,
another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, and that tune was called Missing You, and it played in that movie Set It Off. Remember that movie with Victoria Fox, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, you know, so that was a great tune. It still sounds good today. You know, I first want to start the show by giving all honor to God and asking everybody out there listening to say a prayer for my family. Wednesday, my brother was shot and his head murdered. You know, so we're going through a lot in the family, but, you know, the show must go on, and so I'm just going to keep it upbeat. But I just want to thank all my listeners, first of all, from north to south and east to west, and the ones listening starting with Hawaii and the United States, the ones in France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, the UK, Canada, Nigeria, and Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, and India. So tell all your friends on your media sites, you know, to check us out every Friday. You know, our guest tonight is supposed to be a Mr. James Tyson. He is a paranormal humorist and speaker, as well as he has been experiencing paranormal energies since he was a small child. So this will be a night to remember. Right now, I hope he don't have a conflict with time. He got his time mixed up because he is calling from Canada. So I'm just going to really quick just let y'all hear a little bit about the book Broken, which is my autobiography. I was sitting here earlier, and I was sitting here, I'm saying, let me tell people a little bit about it so you can get the book, and the book can be purchased from Amazon, Kindle, or my personal website, www.terrylyle.com. So while we sit here and wait for our guests to show up, I'm going to play that little commercial I made early today while I was fooling around rapping.
We know the word broken means a lot of things. It depends on what dictionary you're looking at. Some terminology for broken was needing repair, depreciated, emotionally wrecked, not new. But, you know, broken, depending on your contents, whether it's an object that you pick up in your hand or whether it's an emotional thing, broken is something that needs to be fixed and can be fixed. Just like the story about this preacher's kid who got caught up with this young man who was into the occult. He was running around town, putting his penis wherever he could put it, unfaithful. This young girl fell apart. She moved off to California to escape her shame, her confusion. But while she was there, she realized that she got angry. She did never, ever wanted to ever lose somebody because she was inexperienced with sex. So in her own way of thinking, she's young. And when you're young, like they say, sometimes they say young and dumb. And that's true in a lot of cases. So she joined these swingers groups because she wanted to find out what it was that she didn't know, why her husband would cheat on her. As she got into that a little deeper, into that also comes drugs. Because everybody at the swingers group, they had a open table full of drugs, things to drink, whatever. I guess it was to lighten the mood while you swapping partners and everything. It was uncomfortable for a while, but she got kind of into it. And she did all those things that in her mind she thought she would never do. But she needed, while she was way out there in California, that her family on the East Coast couldn't find out what she was doing. So she learned all kinds of things, whether it was using props, whether it was anal or oral sex. She felt like she was going to go to school. A lot of y'all go in your bedrooms and y'all think because someone's got their thing inside of you or you got your mouth on some other body parts, that that's sex. You know, sex, true sex, should be a form of intimacy, not somebody by you sticky and wet. So anyway, this young girl, she went to school. She learned the craft from a perspective where she grew to have an expertise. Never she did that, she felt comfortable that any guy that she would meet, she could turn him out because she was just that good, and her body was built for comfort. You know, she also had women attracted to her because of she was a cutie on duty, but because she eluded that confidence, she knew that she could do whatever. You know, when she got into that little lifestyle for a minute as well, you know, trying to find out just what she needed to know about everything. Nothing was off limit, you know. So she figured out that down the road, she was going to decide to start her own swingers group. And she did, man. She was, like they say, head nigga in charge. She was running the show. And hand in hand with that came drugs, assorted lifestyle, you know, and then it became abuse, people trying to bum rush you because they want your money because you was rolling with the drugs. It led her to finally get a posse of her own for protection and otherwise. But anyway, the story goes on a little further. She met some guys out there, military guys. I guess she didn't know too much about PTSD. Crazy motherfuckers. And I just got to put it that way. This one guy was so crazy, he took and glued the door frame to their apartment that they shared so she couldn't open the door from the inside. So she had to jump from two stories into some bushes and ran to her car. The tires was flat. The door locks was gone. The batteries and all the wires under the hoods were ripped out. The steering wheel was gone. And she knew that this was a life or death situation. As she was trying to figure out what was going to happen, all of a sudden she heard the motorcycle coming because that's what he drove. And so she hid in the bushes. And when he went inside the house, she ran the other way, praying for dear God to get her out of that mess. You know, it triggered her going into, driving and, you know, herself insane pretty much. She used her credit cards up and stayed at motels till they ran out. And then she finally snuck over there and got the car towed while he was at work. And when she got the car fixed, she felt like, these are my things in that house. I pay for that. And she didn't realize that your life is more important than materialistic things. She went back. The door wouldn't open because he changed the locks. All of a sudden, she heard somebody coming, so she ran to her car, and he chased behind her, jumped on the car hood, and she drove off until he fell off, you know. But the story didn't end there, you know. So she figured, like, okay, I need to start selling some drugs, you know. I'm familiar with that, so I can keep it going, you know, so I can live, have a place to stay. Because in California, it's hard to be single because the cost of living is so high. But that spiraled into another problem and another problem. She wound up, you know, having, you know, the wrong people looking for her. She just got caught up living that wild lifestyle. She became homeless. And, you know, so many things happened. She wanted to commit suicide, almost did, you know. But, you know, she felt that God had left her, but God allowed her to go through some stuff. But he kept his thumb on things. He didn't let no harm come to her. But, you know, that story broken will resonate in your minds because she will speak about different people that you can relate to, I'm sure. Somebody that you may have been. But, you know, it touches a whole lot of things from the young to the old. You can learn something from her testimony, from her autobiography. But, you know, something, keeping it real, we all a little broken, Quasi's cap. Just look at yourself a little closer and you'll realize we need to work on ourselves. We need to acknowledge for ourselves that if we don't get ourselves right and get ourselves in the right frame of mind, you know, we're going to wind up having depression issues, and depression sometimes leads to death, you know. So we need to look at ourselves and forgive ourselves. And understand that was yesterday. Today is a brand new day. We can make changes. So if you want to get that book broken, you can go to Amazon, Kindle, CreateSpace, or you can go to that writer's personal website, www.terrylle.com, and get the book from her. If you get the book from the author, I know it's $20 plus shipping and handling, which would be about $28, but you get her to write her name down, write a little note to you, because right now that same script, her book, is in the hands of Lionsgate, and it's going to be in the hands of some other people. It's going to be on a big screen because I know that God is not going to say it is and fuck doing it. God say, ask you shall receive. So, you know, when that happens, won't be no more personal autographs. So I implore you, don't do it for me. Do it for yourself. Because if you know you're living, if you ain't been through something, you're going to go through something. So get the book Broken, the autobiography of author is Terry E. Lyle. I am willing to share my story. I am willing to be embarrassed. I am willing to be a stupid because, you know, this is what I had to do for me to get this off of my chest. So you can't point your fingers at me and try to blackmail me. That's not the person I was over 30-something years ago. Thank God I'm a different person. And because of that, I got a love inside of me, a compassion inside of me that I'm not going to do what I would have done to you long time ago. You know, so do it for yourself. Look through my eyes, the story that you have seen for yourself. Go ahead and get Broken on Amazon, Kindle, CreateSpace, and www.terrylyle.com.
Talk to you for a second about a little something that's on my mind. What I want to really need. You know, you're out here running around thinking you're God's gift to every woman. But you need to take care of the one that you have at home. Can't be leaving her there all alone. Now listen to me.
Sit down with the lady. Listen to what she has to say. Don't be so quick to talk about yourself. It'll only push her away. Cause a woman is sensitive in every way. You have to make her feel special each and every day. You got to treat her right. Oh,
make her feel special.
Gonna take the same thing,
keep it, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you can't keep going through the motions, like she's not there. Gotta make that woman feel that you really, 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 really care.
When she get tired of that, ask her what else did she want you to do, 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 do,
guest on my show before a couple of years ago, and ladies, they have seen him, You know, he's a good-looking, bald-headed brother. But you got to treat her right. Make her feel special. You know, for some reason, my guest is having a problem getting through, and he's not able to be online. But the story tonight was about, you know, him having paranormal energy since he was a small child. So what we will do, we will briefly just touch on it with me and my co-host, and we're going to talk about, have either one of y'all ever experienced anything paranormal happen to you, you know, whether it's on the light side, the dark side, or anything out of the normal that, you know, we go through? I have, but I'll let you go first, Chris. Tell me, have you ever experienced anything that was paranormal?
Well, me and Mark, my spouse Mark, we lived in a duplex that was kind of had spirits and made noise, and then we moved in another house that had spirits and made noise. Like the toilets would run and the light switches would flicker, the lights would flicker in the rooms, you know, stuff like that.
Well, did anybody research it to see whether that was true, opposed to maybe there was just a plumbing issue? Because sometimes when you got plumbing going bad, it will make noises before it erupts behind the walls. Because I know for a fact of all them plumbing issues in my brand new home that I built from the ground up that I had to get rid of, you know, plumbing issues can sound all creeped out and stuff. Or it was at your imagination because it was nighttime, maybe the rain and the silhouette of the tree shadows and then hearing the little creepy sounds in the pipes. Are you sure that was paranormal or just something behind the scenes going on?
Well, we never really investigated it or anything, but we think it's paranormal. We have no facts behind our theory, but that's just what we think.
Okay, so you're saying that you kept hearing noises or the water coming on and off? Is that what you're saying?
No, like the toilet, like the toilet would run, like after you flush it, after you flush the toilet and it runs, it would do that out of the blue.
Okay, because sometimes you got to jiggle the handle, because I've had that done to you. My toilet wouldn't stop, and you got to jiggle the handle because that little round disc that covers the hole don't be sitting good. That's why it keeps you running. Have you ever jiggled the handle?
Yeah, we tried jiggling the handle, and that didn't work. And then another thing, like right now, as I'm on the air with you, this happens when me and Mark are asleep, and we don't know why this is going on. I mean, we think we know, but we don't know. But we hear noises through the walls, and like I said, that could be maybe that's not a spirit either. But we just think it's a spirit.
Y'all hear noise in the wall? It's not like the house settling. Y'all hear like something like walking between the walls. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Mark thinks that the house is settling, but I think it's something different. I mean, I don't know. He could be right, and I could be. I don't know. I guess I can't say that they're spirits because I don't really know. But that's just what popped in my head when you asked the question.
Well, I tell you what. If you hear something that says get out, you better get the hell out with the quickness. You know, don't even bother about grabbing the bag. Get your ass out that door and boogity, boogity, boogity down the road, because houses don't talk. They may settle, but when they start talking, it's time to go.
Amen. Yeah.
It's time to go. And what about you, Mark? Have you ever had any paranormal experiences?
Oh, most definitely. I grew up in an old house with my grandma, and back when I was a little boy, she used to take care of her mother in the back room, and that was grandma's great-grandma's room.
Mm-hmm.
And after she died in December 8th of 1962, and after that, we smelled her smell for years after that, you know. Yeah. And we saw apparitions too, because the house was next to a golf course, and we used to see Grandma out there in the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, it was a genuine apparition. And the smell was undeniable. I don't care how much you clean that room, you still smell grandma's smell. you know.
But one good thing about that, though, Mark, by being grandma, you know, was love. You ain't had to be creeped out, you know, because grandma wouldn't hurt you. So that's a good thing as far as you're concerned. But as far as what Chris talking about, that's something to be very concerned about. But you, grandma ain't going to hurt her baby. So that was probably like a couple.
Oh, no. Well, I didn't. I wasn't creeped out about it. I was comforted by it. I was glad that she, that I can smell her and see her, you know, from time to time. But I wasn't scared. I really wasn't. You know, I was comforted.
And I believe that because my uncle had passed away, my Uncle Floyd, you know, and in life my uncle had a stuttering speech impediment, you know, so he would stutter a lot. And the family, we learned how to catch certain words to understand what he was trying to say, but his stuttering was really difficult. But when time I had a dream or whatever, or I don't know if I was dreaming or whether that was just a vision, but anyway, he came back. And in that vision, it was like I was in a classroom and there was tables and chairs like for the kids to sit at, you know, and I guess he was walking through like he was checking on the kids. And I said, Uncle Floyd, I wasn't scared at all because, like you said, it was comforting. I know my Uncle Floyd loved me. He was a good man in life, and he wouldn't come back to hurt me. But I said, Uncle Floyd, how long can you stay, you know? And he said, not long. So, you know, and he was talking crystal clear, no stuttering, nothing. So I said, well, if you can't stay long, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, what do you want to know? I said, am I going to make it to heaven? And he said, yes. I said, thank you, Lord. You know, and I grabbed my hand, balled up in the fist, and came down with it like, yes, you know, because when you're in the afterlife, you know things that the life here in this realm that we live in, we don't know. And so I was very comforted by that. You know, I wasn't scared at all. But, yeah, that's one thing I think is pretty standard with people when their relatives come back, as long as those relatives were nice, because some of us, we got some doozy. We got some damn people in our family we wanted to, like, kick to the curb because they don't know what to do this.
Yep.
They don't know what to say out their damn mouth. They just mean it, ugly, for no good reason, you know. And you know that when they come, your ass get all tight in the knot because you don't never know what's going to come out their mouth. It's going to be something to the left, you know. So, yes. Every family member that comes back ain't going to be a pleasant experience. I can tell you that.
No.
Okay,
I'm going to ask you, do you have some examples of family members like that? Or you don't have to name them, no names, but, I mean, that would really be scary.
I got some family members I want to discuss, but we're going to take a real small break. We'll be back in 2 and 2, and we're going to share some of our, you know, family members like, you know, we all got that, you know, family member.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here this week. Oh, I forgot, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey, man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. The things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! Who is it? Why is he in my house?
Jesus.
Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, hush,
when the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Love on this day, and hold on. my caller, my guest, James, was just on the line and the call dropped. So, James, call back in. And if you want to ask a question when he calls back in, please hit the number one key. And I know that you have a question or comment on this live show. So we're just going to hang in there for a second because he was just on the line. He just said hello and the call fell off. So, James, we're still waiting. But until you get back on the line, we was going to go over, you know, me and my co-host about different people in your family. You know, those kind of cantankerous, kind of, you know, mean and just like, kind of family members that may have passed on and you do not want to visit. So, Chris, what family member you know like that that you do not want to visit from? Chris?
Chris?
Wake your honey
I'm
up.
Here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I pressed the wrong button on my phone. I said that I don't really know anybody that's dead who I don't want around, but there's certain people I won't go into any personal information, but I know people that are alive that I have trouble trusting.
I know that's right. You know, yeah, but if they die, please stay dead and don't come back and visit. And what about you, Mark?
I had an old Aunt Vera. I was growing up. She used to come and take care of us, and she used to hide her wine bottles in the closet. And she was she was so mean. And she never beat us, but she was so – and she used to play the Ouija board, you know, the Ouija board?
Uh-huh, that demon board.
And she was – yeah, she was very cantankerous and spiteful, you know. And I would never want to see her again, you know, in this life or the afterlife either.
I know
and
that's
she,
right.
And I remember I used to sneak wine some of her wine in the closet when I was a kid. She might have started me on the road to alcoholism for I know.
That's a mess. Well, we do have, if anybody would like to make a comment, because this is a live show, or just join in on the conversation, just hit your number one key because it lets me know you want to communicate. There is somebody on the line, but with the last four digits, 6634, but they won't hit the one key. I guess they are a little shy and they don't want to talk, but that's okay. You don't have to talk, baby. But if you know our guest, James, give him a call on your phone and say, hey, we're waiting for you to call back in. He said hello and the phone dropped. So, you know, I don't know what's really going on tonight. But
he might be a ghost. You never know.
Uh-huh. Well, this person, okay, they hit the one key. Hold on. Caller, last four digits.
Hello.
How are you and who are we talking to?
My name is James Tyson.
Hi,
oh,
James.
Hello.
I have been doing my blog talk thing. I have been pounding my head against the wall and throwing things around the house. It's amazing. I don't know what it is with blog talk and I, but we've never had a really amicable relationship. I don't know. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, because we were trying to hold down the fort while you was MIA, missing
yeah,
in action.
You guys were dancing really well. Just kind of moving back
cool.
and forth.
Oh, you heard us.
Or, I'm almost in tears trying to figure out what was going on. Oh, I'm back.
Well, you were a ghost.
It's got to be me. I was on Blog Talk for a couple of years, and it finally it forced me off the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing me back on Blog Talk.
Yeah.
It just took a while.
You can come here. But let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
About you having those paranormal energies when you was a small child. How old were you?
Oh, paranormal stuff happening. I was probably when it first started that I remember, I was probably about 11 or 12, 13. I had shadows showing up at the foot of my bed and then coming up the bed towards me. And I remember reaching my hand out, thinking it was my sister, and it just went right through this thing. And then I went into a really deep sleep. And I remember it specifically because I asked my mother about it the next day, and she said, "Oh, yeah, those things happen." Because
wow. You know,
she also experienced that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, she experienced that too.
You know, and I have as well. When I was living in California, I would see like dark shadows scoot across the wall, and I would turn around and my peripheral vision, you know, and me and my daughter had discussed that, and she said, "Mommy, that's evil when it's dark." I don't know, you know, but I didn't like it, you know, because I didn't like the fact that something was there running through my home, you know. But, yeah, but I imagine at age 11, that had to be really creepy because that's when your imagination is vivid. That had to be like, did you pee on yourself?
Pretty much, yeah. It was one of those.
Literally. You see some droplets on the floor?
No. It's not as scary. I had a ghost follow me home a couple of years ago, and it was standing at the foot of my bed, like full on apparition. And I did whatever a big tough guy would do. I covered my head with a blanket, and then I looked again, and it was still there. And then I realized, okay, I got to deal with this. And I'm not afraid of them. One of the first full-on apparitions I ever saw was when I was 16, and I was in a really bad car accident, and we went to the hospital, and the driver of the other car got out of the back of the ambulance, was kind of led away by the nursing staff, and his son was with him and was 100%, didn't look hurt at all. I mentioned that to my parents, and they just stared at me because I found out later that the son had died. My argument was like, not argument, but I expressed that he must have had like internal injuries because he was fine when I saw him. And I remember the look on their face because he had actually died in the car.
And you sort of.
But I described him. Yeah, he was at the hospital with his dad, and I described him from head to toe. And they just kind of looked at me like I was cray cray. But
yes.
To this day, I can describe the kid.
Wow. Was walking with
and then
dad.
When we started.
Sadness?
Yeah. And I found out from a psychic friend of mine, actually a couple of them, that that day that child did cross over. He did go. So he's not lost, which is unfortunately what we run into a lot of times with children is that when they do pass, they. You know, and a great grandmother comes from the light and says, "Okay, Billy, let's go." Stranger danger. I don't know you. I'm going to wait for my parents. And
exactly. That's
what a lot of times we have children spirits running around. I was in Tombstone a couple of weeks ago, Tombstone, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I do a bit of a prayer and a meditation to kind of tell spirits that, like, leave me alone. I'm sleeping. Kids never pay attention to that. And some kid grabbed my hand around 4 in the morning and then ran under the bed to a boom, 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 boom. So I was right scared at that point. That's like, what's going on? But they don't hurt you. Like, they can't hurt you. We have enough protection around us walking down the street. So they can pretend to scare you. I brought home 3 spirits accidentally. I had a bit of an adrenaline rush in a very, very haunted area. But it's one of those weird things that, you know, that they do the – I don't know if you or your listener has any problems with that sleep paralysis where you can't move and, like, something's holding you down.
That's My daughter was like an infant in the crib, and my sister, who's 5 years younger than me, had passed away. A little boy hit her upside the hip of a rock because her mother didn't have any more films at the moment to take his picture. It grew into a tumor, and that eventually took her life. But I was laying in the bed, and I saw a tall apparition, and I saw her. And as they was getting closer to me, I felt this immense weight on my chest. I'm trying to scream. I could feel the veins extending from my neck, and I'm screaming, but nothing was coming out of my mouth, and I was getting real nervous. It was getting closer. It was just a painful weight on my chest. And as it got closer, I'm praying. I'm thinking I'm praying out loud, but like I said, nothing was coming out, you know. And I was saying, Jesus, help me, Jesus, Jesus. And as that hand started to touch me, the scream came out, you know. And I don't care what nobody else thinks. My ex-husband, who used to be into the occult, he said that he had came back to check on me and my daughter to make sure we was okay. And he had the vision of my sister who had passed away, so I would be calm. But I couldn't see his other face. We're not calm about that. But I've talked to people, and they say when it's a heavy weight, that's demonic, you know. And that's one of the reasons me and my ex-husband is no longer together. But, ooh, that's
no.
I've been there, done that. That's real talk.
My understanding, what really will make it demonic, and also my understanding from talking to a lot of people over the last few years, is you're not going to run into demonic stuff in North America. It's going to be where they still have blood sacrifices, like in the Dominican and Haiti and place like that. They're like that old school fire and brimstone. The First Testament kind of demons, they're down there because they're busy enough. The stuff that we get up here is usually, almost all, it's a human spirit that hasn't crossed over but basically dines on your energy. It wants you to be frightened and the adrenaline pumping. And on January 4th this year, I kind of helped some policemen arrest somebody at one of the biggest unhaunted locations around, and it's right on a river, so the energy of the moving water, there's crossing railway tracks and a little bit of a rail yard, old part of town, and I ended up bringing three of these yahoos home with me. All of them were afraid to cross over because of stuff they did in life where religion frightened them from crossing over because they thought they're going to go to hell. Well, the three of them came in, and I'm really good at pushing those things off. If you can think yourself you're pulling God's light through your right, I use whatever your belief system is, whether it's the creator or God or Buddha or whatever, you bring that light through the top of your head, your crown chakra, into your heart when you inhale, and then you just imagine a big white fist pumping right out of your heart, and you can actually hear them go as they get off of you, and they don't like that. And I use the Archangel Michael, because usually, like, I would never have gone to Steve Jobs to say, hey, my iPhone's broken. I kind of work my way up through this. You never go up. I save those guys for the big things. But I tried to do my meditation to get to push him off. I tried to get the Archangel Michael in. Obviously, he was busy. And I got up to Jesus to get into the Ascended Masters. And when I got to that point, my whole room just completely cleared out. It was the most,
amen.
If you could imagine a brand spanking new house. The next day, Skeeter Wellhouse is a psychic friend of mine. I said, what happened? So she came in and did a remote viewing. She's in a small town called Maple Valley, Washington, out on the Pacific Northwest here, which is a few hundred miles away from me. She walked into my bedroom, remote viewing, and I know she got it right because she criticized me for having a dirty bedside table. It was all cluttered. And I said, okay, Skeeter, but she described where the windows were and everything. And we got the names, the first names of the three guys who did it. And they were still around. So we punted them outside and we told them to go wait at a grade school down the street, like literally at the end of the block. And she and I talked about it and we went down and actually ended up crossing them to the light. Because all three of them, the reason they came, and what happened was, when to get me really scared, as I'm meditating or you would call praying, I could hear this thing growl like in my left ear, and she said, "Oh, that's good because any demonic energy they don't growl, they laugh when you're trying to pray." But the human ghosts will growl trying to scare you to get your adrenaline up.
Yeah.
So we found each one of them had a religious background. Each one of them had done something that they felt would send him to hell. So then we go through the negotiations that'll get them to cross.
Mm-hmm.
We usually, because if they have the, if they have that Western Christian belief system that they're going to go to hell for whatever coveting their neighbor's wife, one of the Ten Commandments,
right.
My Lord, we all do. So we say to them, if Jesus died for your sins, why would you still be punished for sin? And then
right.
we plant, why would God sacrifice his only child for nothing? So we get that moving in their little spiritual brains, and then they take a walk towards Skeeter and into her energy, and they all crossed over. And they died happily ever after. But these guys were all early 1900s kind of, well, not 1900, 20th century, so 1920 to 1930,
right.
younger males died of whatever. But they're all gone now. They've gone to where they're supposed to go.
Well, I'm going to let Chris ask this question first, and then Mark, and then I'm going to ask you about that chakra, how we can get the light of Jesus in us by whatever you said. So, Chris, go ahead and ask the
yeah.
question, babe.
Hi, James. My name is Chris Michael Ward. Mike, have you always been been a psychic, so to speak, or did it come to you later in life?
It was pointed out to me later in life. I had a lot of jobs. I ended up, my last 28 years was a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and no, I didn't ride a horse. I ended up in 2012. I went to a psychic, kind of on a whim, and I wasn't really believing in psychics or woo woo or any of this stuff. And she told me that my mother was standing over my left shoulder and described my mother back when my mother used to go to the blues bars out in Vancouver, British Columbia, back in the late 40s and 50s. It had a real big blues in the Pacific Northwest here, a lot of bands coming through. And that was the per party time. So she was late 20s, early 30s. Then she said, your mother's name is Lexa, L-E-X-A. And nobody could pull that out of a hat. This psychic only knew me as James. That was it, or Jim.
Mm-hmm.
So now everything that this woman says, I'm looking at, and it's going, I'm just checking those truth boxes. She eventually says, mm-hmm. I'm something called an empath. And I had no idea what that was, never heard of it. And she also said I could read these oracle cards, not tarot cards, but oracle cards, and that I've been seeing ghosts all my life. And I have to realize that, you know, I've kind of put them in the back of my head and kind of shook my head a bit and said, yeah, whatever. But I've, when I saw these things, I didn't realize what they were. I thought they might be a ghost, but I thought, ah, no, that's silly. But
right.
hindsight, after that point, I look back and going, okay, yeah, that made sense, because I really did see it. I really did see three American Indians, or up in Canada, we call them First Nations people, in a field, and I couldn't see them from the knees down because I thought it was, you know how that ripply, the heat kind of illusion?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was it. And I went around the corner and looked at them again. They were gone. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. How do you disappear from a field? But that, I guess it's always been there, but it was never pointed out to me. And since 2012, I've been able to look at somebody and can see that they are also, what is this term, empath, which is just a higher
wow.
vibration human. And I've been reading cards. I've gone from reading oracle cards to literally reading business cards. I can flip over, but I've learned that it's just me concentrating on something, and I can read people. So it's been really interesting in that development. And of course, it's opened me up to ask way more questions to people who've been doing this for way more years than me. So the curiosity and the paranormal investigations got me just, you know, you go from one question to another. Imagine somebody just filled with questions about ghosts, and then another person saying, hey, I think I have a ghost in my house. Why don't you come in and check it? Well, great.
Right.
I can do that.
Okay, well, I know Mark got a question, because I got some just by listening to you talk about the difference in the oracle card and the tarot card and the thing about the light going through the head. I'm going to. So go ahead, Mark, ask your question. You know, If it's the same one for you, I don't care. You've got your opportunity to ask the question, baby.
Yeah, I've been enjoying your live Facebook videos from Sedona. I've been there several times. Yeah, I've been there several times. I've even been to Spook Hall in Jerome. We went through there. And, yeah, I'm curious about the tattoo you got from Balrog. What does it look like? And how was it extracted from the rock there?
Okay, Adrian, the guy at Physical Graffiti in Sedona, very, very cool guy. He goes out and which is a bit of controversy. You're not supposed to take anything. Like you're not really supposed to take any rocks from the Gore-Tex. Don't take any Gore-Tex rocks. Don't take any rocks from the five vortex or the six vortex. But he ground them up and made them into an ink supplement. And I didn't ask him what the medium he was using to keep it liquid, but he'll add that in. It's basically turned it into ink. And how do you say this? The name of this? Because you're going to be the first one as soon as I type this in the computer. Pelly. You're going to be the first one to know what my tattoo actually is because I haven't said any.
Oh, cool.
Thing on who it was. So it's a native. It's called Cocopelli. Now the Cocopelli is, if you can imagine what it looks like, it looks like an American Indian, but going back a long, long time, and it's playing a flute. And among the Hopi Indians, the Cocopelli carries unborn children on his back and distributes them to women. That was for one reason why young women often feared him. He's also in some other First Nations beliefs. He plays music. He's got a hunched back and he plays music, but he plays it so well, the women will leave their husbands and leave their families and just follow him around, and he sleeps with them. I did not know that one when I got the tattoo. he's a bit of the Pied Piper of the women, but he's your basic Elvis of the petroglyphs. And this goes back to his earliest petroglyph goes back to about 1000 AD. So, you know, just over about 1000 years ago. But he's the Hopi Cocopelli was represented by humans and dancers, and it's often carved today. But if you're thinking of Sedona, and you'll see him a lot, he's got four kind of feathers or whatever representing out of the back of its head. He's bent over and he's playing a flute. So the Cocopelli is what I got as a tattoo, and you are the first person who actually saw those videos and knows that what it was. And the stone that I got was from the Bell Vortex, and it's pushed right into the ink. So there's a bit of a because the reason those mountains are red is the iron oxide. So there's an iron oxide color in the tattoo itself, which is kind of an orangey red.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this question. But get back to talking about James, when you were saying that when you had brung these three spirits that hadn't crossed over, one way you was able to get rid of them, you set your chakra. Now, I don't know where all the chakras are in the body, but I did have a guest on, Kathy, was talking about she make that sound like, and that other kind of sound when she's releasing it. How do I get the light of Christ into me, you know, when I want to feel his fullness a little fuller than I already feel it? How did you say you did that?
Okay, I've been taught that we have the seven chakras. It goes from your crown chakra, which is, say, the top of your head, into the third eye, middle of your forehead, your throat, heart, and solar plexus, lower abdomen, and we'll call it your groinage, down in the tailbone area. We actually have a ton more chakras. We have lots more. But if you take a deep breath, just imagine, and in your belief system, you've got, you have, you can use Christ. I would go right up to the God source himself. You got Christ, right. Dad, and creator of everything that was created. Just imagine pure white, is white of love and light and pureness coming from that through the universe, right through the top of your head. And as you inhale, it just comes down in a string through the top of your head, and it will put it in your heart chakra, so the center of your chest. And you imagine your heart as you inhale just getting jam-packed with that beautiful, white, powerful light. And then as you exhale, if you want to push one of these off, it turns into a fist that just goes whomp right into their chest, and it'll knock it across the room. Unless there's three of them, then you're screwed like me. And then you start actually going through your ascended masters by name saying, Jesus, do you mind stepping in? Because the Archangel Michael, who usually deals with this, is on a break. Because Michael usually, I call Michael in and he cleans up pretty quick, but I couldn't focus. And if you ever tried to pray or meditate and focus on something, imagine trying to pray while you're being shot at by four different cannons. And that's in your four, that's what you're thinking of, but in your subconscious, you're trying to, it's a pain in the butt. So you've got to take that, you've got to center yourself, ground, and then go. So that's where I end up going up to the ascended masters, like Jesus, and because that was a good connection for me. And that cleared out quick. That's calling in the big guns when you kind of go through your own your personal guides, angels. Then you get into the archangels, then you start moving up to ascended masters, Jesus, Buddha, whatever your belief system is.
Well, we're going to take a little small break, and we're going to come right back. And I know Chris, he's waiting with his questions that he got for you.
Yep. So
hold on. Back into it.
Yeah, you want my level, yeah, my level. I'm a sucker for your body type. The right tempo matches your mind. Never been one to settle. We you show me something profound. Who wouldn't wanna hold you down? I'm never missing your home. Judgmental. You build me up and never tear me down. Put you first and never in the background. Solving you is simple, so simple. You my shady spot on sunny days. You summer to my ocean.
Yeah. together right here.
Wow, that tune was by Stokely. And you know something? I don't want to be on nobody's level as dealing with the paranormal. So you know something, James? You got that title all to yourself, darling. You know? I know for me, yeah, Quasicat, that'll freak me straight out. But let me get over here with Chris, my baby. He got a question. So go ahead, darling.
Okay, James. Where can people who have questions for you about paranormal, how can they contact you on social media, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of that, or YouTube?
Okay, my YouTube is kind of askew right now, so let's hold off on that a couple of weeks. The website that I have is not up and running yet. My new, let's see, it's a new podcast that's coming out. Probably won't be out until the next year, and I mean like in about 3 weeks. So the website isn't up yet. It's just about ready to hit the on button, but you can get a hold of me at JIMZ Ghost, Jim's Ghost at gmail.com. I'm, again, that's Jim's with a Z Ghost, which is hard for me to say because I'm Canadian and we say Z. So JIMZ Ghost at gmail.com or on Facebook. You can follow me there and send me messages there. It's just, what is my Facebook thing? It's James Tyson Para, James Tyson Para on Facebook. And Twitter is James Tyson, or the Oracles at James Tyson, one of those two. It's because the show that's coming out is called The Oracles with James Tyson. And okay. So, yeah, that James Tyson on Twitter. Instagram, the same thing, but Instagram is a pain in the butt if you want to have a conversation back and forth. I'd rather, if you follow me, I think I've got, see, darn Facebook limits you to 5,000 people to follow at your friends, and yeah, I think I'm at 4,999. So if you follow me, or if you get in there in the next 5 minutes, you can get on. But if you follow me there, just send me a thing on Messenger, and then it's like us talking back and forth. It's kind of cool.
I did. Okay.
And plus you'll be able to.
Yeah, I sent you a request, so please answer the message so you can befriend me before you at your max. But I understand this thing because I was at 4,992. Now it's down to 4,935. And I'm saying, how's that dropping off? You know, because I was trying to get to 5,000 so these people could stop trying to be my friend that ain't my friend, you know, and they're perpetrating because they're trying to sneak all around the people that I know to harass them and be begging for money and saying it, that I'm saying it, and, you know, so I'm trying to hurt them get to my 5,000.
Okay. You know, it's a pain to get at 5,000 because I actually went through today and got rid of a whack of people who no longer have Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of go through your list and look for that little gray face that's not there, and then you go, oh, they're no longer on Facebook, and you can get them out. And that at least new friends can come in. I don't have your request here. I'm sorry. You'll have to check in with someone else. Oh, you did? Then it's en route. Yeah, and I've got three spaces left. But again, I don't care if you're my friend or not. I'd rather just if you get a hold of me, just send me a message there. That's no big deal.
That's what I just did. That's what I just did.
Yeah, it works okay. And I would say Roy O. Woodward just sent me something. Oh, that's not you. That's
I find it's I'm afraid I don't understand why you didn't get it because Mark gave me.
If you sent it earlier, there was probably the limit was up. I just literally got rid of 7 or 8 people in the last hour. No, you're gonna have to send it again.
Uh huh.
Okay. You may have to send it again because it's not listed.
How do I resend it if it's already up there? I'm going to send you a message like, hey, this is Terry. Okay.
Okay. Hey, this is Terry. Yeah, just send me a message and then I'll friend you. Look at that. Okay. Now, not everybody jump in there. Look, give her a chance.
Don't accept them yet. Hold them back for a minute.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to explain that white light coming in from the universe again.
Okay.
If you pray, if you meditate, if you pray, if you're reaching out to the source that is the source or any higher entity, just imagine it in your head. Yeah. And remember, this is really important. We've always been taught to pray for those who don't have enough. And just think of every person, every spirit guide around you, all your angels standing there with little legal notepads waiting for you to ask for something for yourself.
Aww,
you can manifest
nice.
Things.
Well,
all you have to do is
everybody
say,
else get what they need.
Yeah, people, we have energy to get stuff for ourselves. If you can teach that to the next person, if you can teach them to fish, they will never be without food. But if you keep buying them fish, if they keep buying them fish,
right?
Yeah, and you're the one going to get tired.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Teach a man to fish and he'll always be fed. But we keep asking. We spend our God-given, source-given energy to give to other people. But we never ask for it for ourselves. So one day if you think, you know, I need a new car, just put it out there. Just think it. Mm-hmm. Pray it. Meditate on it. Think on it. And you don't ask for a Ferrari. They don't really give the bottom of a rat about a Ferrari. You'll get a car when it's supposed to be. The time for you to get a car.
I did.
Jim Carrey,
I prayed for one, and I got one in September. September or October.
Yeah, but see, that's it. We ask. We have the power to do that, but we've been kind of tricked into, oh, no, that's greedy. You can't ask for that because that is not your position to ask. Yeah, it is. Sure it is. It's we just have to ask.
Well, I'm definitely going to be asking for a specific type of man to come into my life who's going to be my husband eventually, but he got to be a godly man seeking God's first and not being acting all like it's his word or you don't have an opportunity to speak. I don't want no abrasive person because there's a lot of kind people out there. You don't have to be mean and nasty to get your point across. You can be humble, and if you're humble, then you're not abrasive. You can't have them together, being abrasive and humble. Mm-mm.
No, if we aren't supposed to be leading with our ego, and that's the big thing about being more spiritual is got to get rid of the ego, because that's what we keep tripping over.
Well, Mark, I know you got a question you want to ask, baby, but I did send you a request, James. Look on your.
I'm looking for it.
Oh yeah. What about you were in that Prescott Hotel. That looked really spooky there. Was there?
That
did you
was
find any,
cool.
Yeah, did
no,
you find any spook there?
I set three recorders up, and I set a full-spectrum camera with a IR light, and that didn't work that well, other than every 45 minutes it shut itself off automatically, and I had to wake up and turn the thing on, so that was irritating. And I haven't gone through the three audio tapes. I had them set up. And I was in room 320, and I asked the person downstairs, who's also a psychic and had, you know, very, very sensitive woman who was working the front desk, and she said, yeah, just pay attention to room 321. And I thought, well, geez, I'm kind of it's right next door.
Oh, yeah.
And as I'm setting up my recording devices from the other room, 321, I hear this like something knocking on the wall, this muffled thump, thump, thump. Not thinking, oh, there's something there. So the next day I went down and talked to her and said, yeah, was there anybody in 321 last night? And she said, no. And as I'm starting to think, oh, then she looked it up on the computer and said, oh, yeah, somebody did check in. So, okay. So debunked mine, but I want to see if you hear any voices. Yeah, it was. I still have to go through my audio and my video from Tombstone, because I was there with the lady who runs Sisters Paranormal, and her office or her little store is basically, it's the morgue, the old morgue that was there. And they would have 3 deaths a day in this town. They had more people working in the mortuary and running the place and building coffins than they did in the city of Chicago and New York for that time.
Oh, wow.
They had, New York had, I think, 2 full-time people and 4 or 5 part-time, and Tombstone had 6 full-time.
Wow.
They had 90 deaths a month.
Wow.
Murders, hangings, and accidents in the mines, because the place was honeycombed by mines. Amazing. It's so much energy. And this is where my personal opinion, this is just my opinion. I think there's spirits and ghosts who haven't crossed over. They're everywhere, but we only see them in places of higher energy, like near moving water, tidal water, or places with a lot of fuck.
What happened, James? What happened? Is he still there?
James.
Oh, my. Oh, he just dropped off. He'll call back in. Wow. Because I thought he was saying, oh.
Wow.
I thought I heard that. Oh. Now, you know how the phone is getting ready to die, and you see it, you lose it, and it say, oh, fuck. I heard that F sound, but I didn't hear it clearly.
that's what happened.
So we'll just wait till he calls back in. You know, we're going to hold the fort down, darling, until you call back in, because you got about 12 more minutes. You know, I gave him 90 minutes because I knew he would be a very interesting guest, you know, to have on here. You know, but, wow, he just, like, fell into it, you know, pretty much. As a young kid, you start seeing shadows and spirits, and he is so calm with it. You know, my behind would have been jittery, nervous, and, I probably had some kind of problem going on. What about you?
Yep, I did. Kind of.
Yeah, I'd be freaked out, that, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow.
He's about it.
That's
but he was talking, Terry, he was talking about, on Twitter, he was talking about this huge energy shift. We have to ask him about that, about this huge energy shift that's supposed to be happening on Sunday.
Hey, he's back now. He's back on the other number. He's back now on a different number. Okay, James, I heard you go off. You're on the other number. Okay. So talk about
that whole, we used to always, was it Mercury in retrograde? Here it comes again. It affects all the, it's alleged to affect all the different electronic equipment.
Okay. So you feel some kind of energy affecting your electronic equipment on your end? That's what you're saying?
I don't know. I just looked at my computer screen and said, shutting down. What?
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Did you say, oh, fuck, before you hung up?
I heard that part.
Yes.
Heard that part.
If you were to look up the French word for seal, like a little seal that swims in the water, yeah, that's what I said. P-H-U-Q-U-E. Fuck.
Okay.
It's not a bad word. It's the French word. I would never cuss like that. Not on your show. I would never cuss. I would just say the...
It's okay.
You can say it.
You can say whatever you want to say. You can say, shut the front door. I mean, you can say the real word. We don't have to say we're adults. And, you know,
we
in the
no
real
FCC.
World, you could be, you know, no one can completely say that 24/7. No words pop out their mouth that they don't want to retract. Because that's something, you know, I'm working on myself because I got a problem with cursing because, you know, I like it, you know, but I'm trying to pull it back.
Yeah.
Because of better
sometimes
you know?
It just fits.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just fits. So anyway, before I cut myself off, I was talking about what my beliefs are in why we see ghosts in certain places. I think it's just, it's the energy in the ground. We go to Tombstone. We go to Sedona. That's such a high quartz content. And I think that energy helps.
you know, I really believe they're just everywhere, all over the place. And that's, and those four, the four reasons that people don't cross over, that one is that they're kids and they're kind of afraid because they don't know what's going on. They're just going to wait for their parents. The ones that still have something to do, like they promised their spouse or their children or somebody, the business worker, that they were going to build a boat or something. Those who don't know they're dead, and those who have a in the religious belief, they believe that if they cross over, they're going to go to hell. And those are the ones that we're always running into.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so, Mark, you said you were talking about some kind of energy shift.
Yeah, I was looking on your Twitter feed, James, and you were saying something about a huge energy shift that's supposed to be happening Sunday, December 3rd. What's that all about?
Well, that's the Mercury in retrograde. It happens every couple times a year, I believe, and to actually get into – I was going to look it up on my computer here on that post because I was just a one that I retweeted from somebody else. And it's supposed to – in retrograde, Mercury, and please bear with me, I can't remember what retrograde means in regards to a planet, but it is supposed to affect electronic, whether it's broadcast or frequencies. And if it's going to affect, if a planet's movement is going to affect the energy in a broadcast, then it's going to affect the energy that we have as living beings. Just like, you know, people say, oh, the full moon doesn't really affect anybody. Mm-hmm. Well, I was a policeman for a long time. My mother used to work as a telephone operator. She could tell a full moon without looking out the door, just like our dispatchers can. There is a very small percent of the population where a full moon, which does affect the gravity and like the tides and things like that. So there is an energy about it. It does affect some people in peculiar ways. Now, there's a psychiatric hospital for, like, I was going to say the criminally insane, but, you know, there's murderers and stuff in there. There's a couple of guys in there on a full moon, they will write across their cell walls in their own feces because that's just what they do. They react to a full moon. And, that, well, I guess that's where you get the term lunatic from, the crazies that are affected by Luna, the moon. So, you know, with Mercury in retrograde, it's probably similar, but it lasts a longer time. Like, I think it's a 2 or 3 week phase in there. So, and just for people to know, my computer now says, getting Windows ready. Don't turn off your computer.
Can I just maybe it was ready right now. It was a little few minutes ago.
Yeah, Mercury hit me. Oh, that's...
I had one more question.
Yep.
You use the word vortex a lot in your videos. What does that exactly mean in your the paranormal world? Vortex.
A vortex is a place of like, and in those videos, there was six vortexes in actually the whole area of Sedona and that part of the valley there up in northern Arizona. Is basically a bunch of vortexes. So it's an energy, it's a spike of energy that's caused by like just a natural surrounding. And again, you know, if you want to get back into the reality of it, it's, well, not the reality, but like a more of a scientific term for it, a reason for it out there, it's the iron oxide that's in the ground. So it's present in the ground. And quartz. So you've got these two materials, two substances that really can draw in energy. And the most likely place we get energy. We get it from the sun. So it just comes in. And I was walking up. I did an interview with a person there who puts on tours through the vortexes. And as I'm walking with her, and we're going up this flipping hill, and if you knew me, I can sprint probably 50 yards before I need to have a nap and an oxygen tank. But it's I was walking up this hill and I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to be good. It's like 87 or 88 degrees. I've got one little jug of water, I got my boots on, I got I've got a wool hat, and I'm walking up this thing. I'm sweating. I kept going, and I got this boost of energy. And what was really weird, on the way down, I actually picked up a rock with my left hand, and all the hairs on my left arm stood up. And I thought, ooh, that's kind of cool. And I put it in my right hand. All the hairs on my right arm stood up. And I mentioned it to her, and she was so matter-of-fact. She goes, you know, with somebody like you, you'd think you'd figure this out by now. It's like, but it's all new to me. I'm just a walking question. Like, how does this work? I understand that you're telling me you can walk up here and feel energized, like you can run, you know, a marathon. But until I experience it, it's just hearsay. Other people have had these experiences, but I want to go try it. But now I'm doing it and I'm thinking, oh, that is so cool.
I got a question before we run out of time. We've got about 3 minutes on the clock. Since you have embraced the paranormal parts of your life, how has that impacted your life? Has it been in a positive way, negative way? Since you have embraced it and said, accept this as it is, how has that affected you?
It's not embracing the paranormal. To me, paranormal actually is just normal. Like supernatural is really just natural. I've embraced more of the spiritual side.
Okay.
And how it's affected me, I did a meditation had come to me, and for some reason I started doing it. I went back as far as I could in my life and went back to where I was getting bullied in grade school and just remembered the incident and said, I forgive you. Didn't put any weight on the words or the incident. Went to the next one, all the way up to the guy who cut me off in traffic yesterday. Well, I did that every night for about 6 or 7 nights. On the seventh night, I go back to that first one and I say, I friggin' don't care anymore. It's not my baggage. It's his baggage. The guy who was the bully, it's all back on him. It had nothing to do with me. I swear I'm like 3 inches taller, and now you can't get me mad. You absolutely cannot get me mad. I can, it just negative. I don't stick around people that are blowing gaskets or negative energy. It doesn't stick to me anymore. And that is the biggest thing that's ever happened. And that is just a simple meditation. And I don't care if you're kidnapped by the crew of a Greek freighter and, you know, you don't put weight on the words. You don't dwell on the incident. You just go through them. And by the time, you know, and a certain amount of time passes, it's done. But that's where I'm at, and that's the most positive thing in my life.
A guest on my show tonight, because we're down to 30-some seconds. I want you to get a hold of me on my phone on the backside and tell me about those guests that I can schedule up here. And thank you for finally coming in, showing up. And showing out. We love you. Everybody, just say goodnight to Brother Tyson because we get ready to kick off.
Thank you.
Good
night. Thank you so much. Really
Thank
enjoyed
you.
It.
We
Sorry,
enjoyed
yeah,
it.
Fun.
All right, darling.
Fun.
Yeah, check your messages. Leave one of those 3 spots
yes,
for me, Chris, and Mark.
Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Good night, everybody.
Really gonna miss you. It's really gonna be different without you. Time is gonna be hard and slow for the rest of my life. Gonna be thinking about you. Yes, I am. Time came when you had to go. I'll miss you, my buddy. I'll miss you, my friend. In your finest hour, I was there with you, and without you,
things won't be the same. But there's a higher power that we answer to. And you heard him calling your name. Really gonna miss you. Everything about you, your smiling face. I know you want us all to be strong. Really gonna miss you. I know you've gone to that magic place. Singing you a brand new song. Really gonna miss you.